Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth.
On a sensational Saturday when we have a Do Not Fear scripture from Psalm 16. Psalm 16, verses 7 through 9 says, I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure.
That is a great scripture.
That is a good scripture. I'm just soaking it in even more. Amen. Okay, so today on the sensational, and I mean sensational Saturday.
It is that. We're going to talk about who God is willing to do without.
What God is willing to do? Who is God? Yeah, that's right.
Who is God willing to do without?
Without. That, not me.
You know, honey, we never cease to be amazed at how some people can take one verse of scripture and twist it to suit their purpose and our lifestyle. For instance, 2 Corinthians 9:7. Every man according to his he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Believe it or not, this verse is often cited by some Christians as a justification for not tithing. They say the scripture tells them to be cheerful givers, and they cannot give up to 10% of their income cheerfully. They would feel better maybe about 3% or maybe even 5%, but they think 10% is way too much. They say tithing is Old Testament legalism. This type of thinking, or truthfully, lack thereof, is wrong on several occasions. First, if you think tithing is part of the old covenant, we encourage you to go to haroldherring.com and search for our teaching on a fresh look at New Testament tithing. Second,
well, and we really ought to throw in there that tithing came before the law of Moses. So anyway,
that's it.
Go ahead.
Second, such comments are scripturally dangerous. It would lead others to think and act based on feelings and emotions and not the whole word of God. There's a hedonistic philosophy that suggests if it feels good, do it. Or even worse, if it feels good, do it again. What if we applied that same logic to other Christian principles? We would only pray if we were in the mood, facing a real emergency. We'd only attend church when it was convenient and didn't interfere with anything that we felt like doing. We would do good to others as we felt they did to us, and only if they did it first and we felt good about it. We would honor our mother and father,
only if they gave us what they wanted. That's it.
We would only worship God if we really liked the music and felt like singing and lifting our hands in praise. If a person subscribes to the philosophy of only doing what they can do cheerfully, then many people would probably never go to work or fix things around the house or help others in need. They would backslide in their faith and fall away from the things of God.
You know, please understand that we're not saying that you can't do things that previously listed and some of them cheerfully, but the Bible does teach us to not be controlled by or be in respond to the leading of our emotions, because they will definitely lead you astray.
Yes.
And if you are led that way, some people aren't cheerful about anything anyway. But as Abraham Lincoln used to say, most people are about as happy as they decide to be. Any attempt to justify not tithing or giving offerings because it just wouldn't make you happy is really a lame, weak alibi with full of excuses about why we shouldn't obey God. And it definitely doesn't impress him. Anyway, doing the word is what makes it happen. Interestingly enough, the dictionary defines alibi as an excuse to avoid blame.
Wow.
So we're going to talk and ask several questions. Has there ever been a time when you didn't tithe or stop tithing for a short period of time? You know, if a person, like a robber, takes what doesn't belong to him even once in a while, doesn't that make him any less of a thief? Or if a robber only steals when they need money really badly, does that not make them any, you know, does it make them any less a thief? So if you've ever watched a television program or movie about criminals, you know the first thing the defense attorney wants to know is, do they have an alibi? The attorney will advise his or her client whether or not they have a good alibi, the kind that's going to stand up in court and get them off the hook. Do you have an alibi for not tithing or giving offerings to God's work? Will it stand up in the court of heaven? Hmm. Will God say, oh, that's okay on judgment day? The word of God is based not on our views of our circumstances or by what the word, but it's based on what the word of God says about the subject. And we may have, quote, you know, a good excuse, but we better ask God to forgive us because, well, we all sinned and come short. But those who really want to be cheerful on judgment day, they just need to forget about alibis and just obey the word of God. And if for no other reason, the fact that he blesses so abundantly. 2 Corinthians 9:7 concludes by saying, for God loveth a cheerful giver. According to God's to Strong's Concordance, the word cheerful in the Greek is hilarious, which actually means cheerful, really comes from gets the word hilarious from it, which means cheerful, joyous, prompt to do anything. And it only appears truthfully in the New Testament one time. The English word hilarious, like I just said, comes from this word. And the implication is that it's very, very joyful. But let's look at the Classic Amplified Version translation of 2 Corinthians 9:7. It says, let each one give as he has made up his own mind and purposed in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. For God loves, he takes pleasure in, prizes above all their things, and is unwilling to abandon or do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in his giving. God created us to be an agent of free will, meaning that we have choices to obey or not obey. The spiritual benefits, however, of tithing and giving cheerfully really has to make you smile, and I mean a big smile.
Yes, it does.
Every believer should become hilariously happy when they realize the incredible benefits that paying tithes and giving offerings brings. Giving can be a happy, joyous experience, even when you're not well off. You don't have much money. You might be saying, really? Well, consider 2 Corinthians 8:1-4. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. This is from the New Living Translation. It says, now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. They are being tested by many trials, and they are very poor, but they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more, and they did it of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. Now, do you think people do that because they're sad and doing, you know, and miserable?
No, not at all.
But anyway, point being.
The churches, honey, in Macedonia understood the time to give was when things are tough.
That's it.
Because the only way, that's the only way out of the situation. It's clear in 2 Corinthians 9:7. 2 Corinthians 9:7. The Apostle Paul was seeking to motivate fellow believers to give out of a true love for God motive. He was simply pointing out the benefits of proper giving. He definitely wasn't creating a loophole for those looking for an excuse not to give, but rather an incentive to do it properly. I had a former pastor who used to say that God loves a cheerful giver, but he'll take it from a grouch. That was a time when I liked it because it was a funny statement until I realized, in fact, it's scripturally inaccurate. Scripture says that God loves a cheerful, hilarious, joyous, prompt to do a giver. So if you're not happy in your giving, then you got to know God isn't happy in your giving either. In other words, if he, as the scripture says, takes pleasure in, prizes above all things, is unwilling to abandon or do without, a cheerful, joyous, prompt-to-do giver whose heart is giving, then anything else doesn't make him happy. So make no mistake about it. The local church, the ministry, a nonprofit organization may take your money and be happy about it, but it will not be pleasing to God. Truthfully, I'm much more interested and motivated about how God looks on my giving than in my personal feelings, because my flesh will always be ready to offer an excuse. Do you want God to take pleasure in you? Do you want God to prize you above all things? Do you want God to never abandon you? Then your answer is clear. Be a joyful, even hilarious giver, prompt to give what he says to give, regardless of your circumstances. When God directs you to give and you obey his instructions, it draws you closer to him on a number of levels. Bottom line, your money shows God that your heart is towards him.
That is the truth. And it works. The word works.
And it's powerful.
It is powerful.
Hallelujah. Well, until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God.
Think on this teaching today.
Yeah.
There's a lot of meat in that.
We love you. We appreciate you. And we will talk to you tomorrow.
Yes. God bless you. Bye-bye.